This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hiya.
Hi.
We're doing a thing. Yeah. It's our 3-year anniversary and we're doing a
podcast, Hannah.
It's weird because we're wearing headphones, but I can't hear myself.
I know.
It's actually quite horrible. It's our 3-year anniversary.
Woo. We have decided to stop the podcast.
Yeah, no, this is joking. It. Halfway through Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, that'd be such a great
we've been running this podcast for 3 years today.
Wow. Why did no one make us stop?
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who'd have thought? Not me. We've only run, out of those 3 years, 1.5 of them has been in COVID.
Yike.
I know. Big yike.
Over 1.5 now.
Yeah, just about, yeah. That's horrible when you think about it, actually, over this half this podcast life has been in COVID. But we're still here.
Somehow.
And
we're still standing.
Stop it. You literally left the room when I sung.
Yes, because you sing terribly.
That's rude, actually. And some people have told me I have a lovely voice.
They lied.
Okay, yeah.
Meanwhile, I have the voice of an angel.
You literally don't.
I'm still standing after all
and everyone's left. We have no set thing that we do for the anniversary episodes because we don't.
We're not that organised and put together. But also, I think it's boring if you do the same thing every year.
She says when we do practically the same thing for our Christmas episodes every year.
No, we've only done it twice in a row. And that was because we were really rushed this Christmas.
And we'll probably do it again because it's really funny. Anyway, we asked our Discord for what they wanted to hear for our 3-year anniversary special. And someone suggested... It's you that's editing this one, so you can make as much annoying noise as you want. I don't give a crap.
Oh, it's not why I was doing it. And also, how dare you call scat jazz annoying?
That wasn't scat jazz.
I'm pretty sure that's what scat jazz sounds like.
I'm pretty sure scat jazzers are like bleeding at the ears right now at the affront you've just
scat
done.
Jazzers.
Scat jazzers.
That those things
jazzer scats.
Scat jazzers.
Jazzer scats, yeah.
Jazzer scats. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jellicle cats.
Oh no.
Aristocats.
Jellicle cat says jellicles do jellicles and a jellicle.
Someone suggested that we react to our first episode and we thought, yes.
That sounds terrible.
Sounds like a terrible idea to subject ourselves to. Let's do that. So here we are, reacting to our first episode.
I have tried to do this before and failed. One, because of our audio quality, it's terrible. And two, because of our personalities, they're terrible.
I have listened to this, obviously, when the year it first came out, but haven't listened to it since. Some fun facts about this episode before we start. It is the only episode ever recorded at Charlie's house.
Yeah!
Literally, the first episode of the podcast was recorded there, and every other one has been recorded at my house. But for some reason, that first one was recorded at Charlie's.
And we could now, I now have the space that we could record. It's just why lug the equipment?
That wouldn't make sense, yeah.
But
that one was, and it wasn't even Charlie's main room that she was in her old flat. It was the one before that.
Yeah.
Both of us were technically employed by the same company at the time of recording this episode.
And we were, much more junior in our careers. Yeah. You have been through many jobs since.
Thank you for making it sound like I job hop. No, I have been through four different jobs.
No, it's just been a long time.
No, it's been a really long time, yeah. I'm excited / terrified to hear this. Shall we go for it?
I guess.
Here we go. Wait, what was 3 years ago? 2018. It was 2018.
And right at the end.
Yeah. Let's rewind to 2018, a time before COVID, but post-Brexit.
And fetus us.
Yay.
Oh, and also we're drinking Prosecco.
Oh, we're drinking Prosecco because it's a celebration. Woo.
Hello and welcome to Goblet of Wine, a drunken Harry Potter
the
podcast.
The audio quality
is so echoey.
And we're two 20-somethings rereading our favourite childhood book, but this time with added alcohol.
I hope we get some train ASMR.
This episode, you'll get to know us and we'll read chapters 1 and 2 of The Philosopher's Stone. So grab some alcohol and join us on this reminiscent journey.
I don't know why I'm like, why do our voices sound the same? As if our voices would have broken?
Oh my god, that was loud.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Goblet of Wine, a drunken Harry Potter podcast.
Today we are drinking not wine. We probably won't be drinking wine for many podcasts. Today we are drinking a flavoured vodka of Charlie's,
which basically two lies already beginning with this podcast. Because not only are we not drinking wine, mostly because I don't like wine.
I love wine. I am an early wine mom. Like, and I have to say mom in the American accent.
Technically we're drinking
accent,
wine now.
Yeah.
See, I'm really not. I'm a great disappointment to my own wine mum. I don't like wine. But the second lie is that we're drinking allegedly Swedish vodka. So it's Svedka.
Told you. Charlie tried to disagree with me on this.
Strawberry lemonade.
My memory is
vodka,
bad.
Which, to, if anyone's listening to this,
that's
Americans,
train noise. Can you hear
normal.
It?
Yeah. This is American vodka, but Swedish vodka, but brought in America and then brought over to England.
And so in England we have very boring alcoholic drinks, so this is exciting.
We just have vodka, and particularly us two, we just have Tesco value vodka.
But this is very fancy.
And now
vodka
we can afford
to,
better
but
vodka.
The lie about it is that it says that it's Swedish vodka, but then they've tried to make the flag on it very aesthetic by making it match the bottle.
So they've made the Swedish flag red, which just makes it the Denmark flag.
And this is very off topic, so let's get back to Harry Potter.
I was like, 1 minute. Wait, I have to pause.
We are meant to be talking.
I love that I pulled us back on topic within 30 seconds of a tangent.
You used to be, for like probably, I don't know, the first like handful of episodes, maybe more, maybe less, I can't really remember, but definitely for maybe like the first three, you were so anal about like just sticking really strictly
to.
No,
but bear in mind.
And also, you used to edit out like any bloopers, because people now always ask us for like a blooper reel, and we probably could have done it for like the first season, but after that we were just like, just leave it in.
But I think at that point, bear in mind, we hadn't had any feedback. Now we have feedback, like, overwhelmingly with like the tangents, but when we were first launched the podcast, we didn't have that feedback, so I was like, oh, this is off topic.
But I think I started it in the frame of mind of being like, oh, but like it's just like casual and funny and whatever. And I think you started it in the frame of mind of being like, and we talk about Harry Potter. And I think we went at it at two really different angles, which I think
is why
the podcast...
I mean, you started off as so casual and funny, you didn't make notes. I don't think we even mentioned it in this episode, but yeah, you didn't make notes for the first like half a season.
Yeah, but as I was saying, I think that it's why the podcast works, because we came at it from two really different angles. So, like, although I, you know, like, I bring the good points, I do, but you bring most of the good points and intelligence, and you bring the funnies, but I also bring, like, a lot of the funnies, because we just came at it from two completely different angles. And I think, although we're really similar people, I think that it meant that it blended really well in that respect. But I definitely think in the first, like, a few episodes, it was really, you were just like, let's get back to talking about Harry Potter, and I'd be like, nah, it's funny.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, this I knew the sound quality was bad, but the echoing and also
it's so tinny.
And also, yeah, I just heard some train noise, because we didn't think to close the window. Closing the window?
No, but I mean, even in that flat, like, it was literally above a train station. So it would have, even if the window was shut, it just would have. And also, like, it just, like, the high ceilings as well.
Yeah.
Like, that room was bonkers high ceilings.
I mean, we recorded in my lounge for nearly a year, and that has even higher ceilings, so it didn't get better.
I think
for
they
a
were
while.
Probably around the same height. The first room I was in was bonkers high ceilings.
Yeah, probably similar to the lounge. But, yeah, and also, like, I think we have mentioned this before, but because we didn't want to put too much pressure on this episode, it was recorded as pre-drinks before us going on a night out together.
Well, to my ex's party.
It
even
was to your
ex's
party.
Ex at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pre-drinks to that, because we were just like, oh, we'll see if this works. So, like, because we need to drink, we'll record this thing that we're thinking about doing while we drink.
Yeah, because we were literally not, we both wanted to do it, but we weren't really set on it. And we were like, Because we were like, we might do it and just literally not have any idea, any chemistry, might just be horrendous. So we were like, well, let's just do it as just like a one-off and then edit it and see how it is. And it was terrible, but for some reason we continued. I genuinely, like, I worry about this as our first episode. I worry about our entire first two seasons, to be honest, because whilst I think it's normal that, like, people, when they're new podcasters, it takes you a while to really get into, like, how to do things, not just in terms of the technical side, but the hosting of it. So I think that's normal, but it's, like, it's our, like, sound quality combined with that, where I'm like, this is just unpleasant, and it probably puts so many people off that might enjoy later seasons.
Yeah, but in a lot of ways, like, I do think it's, I'm going to talk about, like, the commercializations of podcasts now. Like, so many podcasts that are kind of advertising themselves as independent are backed by, like, studios and, like, big things like that nowadays, and I do think it's, like, really nice that we started in the way that we do. And I also think, like, you are coming at that from an angle of someone who is very into audio things, and, like, right now people listening are gonna see,
you mean the fact that my dad and my ex were both audio engineers.
Yes, I do. Like, people listening right now, because they can hear us now and us 3 years are gonna be like, oh, that quality is awful. But, like, I think people listening for the first time, a lot of them, I mean, it depends, because if people listen to a lot of podcasts, I don't know, you guys can tell us, but clearly people stick around. So,
but also, like, it varies, because this is like, if I liked the host enough, I would put up with this for, like, a little bit. But there were a couple of episodes where, like, and we still don't know what happened, where the audio just went deep fried.
Oh, yeah. There are two where I'm like, I'm not surprised if people skip them. They are absolutely horrific.
Like, we're saying this, people will know. But, like, just want to apologise once again. We don't know. We do not know. So sometimes that shit just happens.
And the problem with this podcast is it's really hard to re-record something we've already done, because it's based on in the moment. So when things like that happen, like, my absolute nightmare is still just not saving an episode or something.
But there was that one that we had to record three times.
Yeah.
And in the end, we just got so blind drunk because we were like, we can't do it again.
Yeah. Okay, let's carry on, see what we're saying.
About Harry Potter.
Yes, so to summarise, we're drinking strawberry lemonade vodka and talking about the first two chapters.
I also just didn't cut out you messing up a line there, where I always cut that stuff out now.
Don't even try to justify saying sorcerers.
No, I'm not.
This is why people kept listening. This is why.
What, because you're insufferable?
No, literally 3 minutes in, I was like, fuck Americans.
Hashtag Brexit.
Hashtag Brexit. Who were some of the first people to read Harry Potter? We read it before it came to America and before it got renamed.
Or we have a lot, if you're dyslexic like me, listen to Stephen Fry read it.
The beautiful voice.
And also, we get a lot of messages about the fact that I'm one by two dyslexic. Bye.
We have a lot of issues with it being called Sorcerer's Stone rather than Philosopher's.
Oh, God.
They changed it because they didn't think the word philosopher would translate to an American.
Oh, there's another
audience.
Train going past.
But what frustrates me is it isn't a made up word. Philosopher's Stone is something in history.
I'm so obnoxious. I'm gonna go throw myself out the window.
And Nicholas Flamel is a real person.
But people enjoy this.
Oh my god, how did you not know this? Is this actually a surprise?
Genuinely.
Are you putting this on?
No, genuinely. I feel like a fake fan.
This was actually a surprise. Like, this isn't put on.
Is a real,
I hate myself.
So it never got invented. But the alchemists at the time, and when I say at the time, we're talking like, I will have to fact check this, but 1400s wanted to find.
Did I ever fact check that?
No. Make a stone. Do we ever? Any metal into gold. The live forever bit is a bit of
that noise I kept in.
Exaggeration.
I cut all those out now.
They did think they could find a stone that could turn any metal into gold, and they called it the Philosopher's Stone. And a famous alchemist at the time was great.
I mean, I stick by all my points here.
The history.
I mean, duh.
Tour in.
I say duh. The amount of times we say bullshit.
His headstone.
My mind is genuinely.
What was that?
But also, it's, you know, it's well known that J.K. Rowling borrows from all kinds of mythology and history and stuff. So I don't know why my mind is blown, but I just, like.
But that's most. It's not even a borrow. She was literally lifting from real life history at that point. But this is what annoys me about the changing from philosopher to sorcerer, is the fact that the Philosopher's Stone is a real piece of history.
Yeah.
And the Sorcerer's Stone is just
a made-up piece of nonsense. And I feel so bad because I know all Americans were raised on the Sorcerer's Stone, and it's something I feel bad wrong. About. But you are wrong. It is the Philosopher's Stone. And it's something I feel really strongly about.
I genuinely did not know that.
I'm so glad I've brought a fact to you that you didn't know.
Before we start analysing the chapter,
I blended two clips together.
Yes.
Okay. So Charlie's going to go first.
Why did I blend those?
I don't have
clips.
A lot of memory of this, so I did have to text my mum.
Classic.
To ask how, as a family, we got into Harry Potter, because Harry Potter has been like a large part of my family. Mm. Whenever a new book came out, it was my sister would get it first, and then either me. In the early days, my mum would get it first because I was a dumb bitch that couldn't read.
That's putting an explicit note on this podcast.
I didn't realise that it came in that early. That was
first episode, dumb bitch that can't read. Nice
Basically,
one.
I was dyslexic, so I couldn't read, so my mum would then get the book. But then in the later books, it would be my sister would get it, then the next day when she finished it, I would get it, and then the next day when I finished it, my mum would get it, and then my dad... just wouldn't read them, but he would always come to the films with us, which when we were young and he was
there
traveling
is so
a lot,
much
like,
trade
a
ASMR
huge
I know
to have my dad come with us to
people
the
probably
oh, yeah, we
don't realize what
I
it is
trains.
If you wondered
came out
it's
as
trains
four of us. I don't remember many cinema and family like event days where we went as the four of us because my dad worked away a lot as well, so that was it was such a big family deal for us. It was a cultural like phenomenon.
Stop
so
saying
when
yeah
do you actually think
pet peeve when people do this
book,
in podcasting
in
like do it once maybe but you don't have to keep reacting to what someone is saying
at the end. Yeah, so I can't remember. I have a weird memory that I think might be a fake memory of being
okay. I think the bit that I like was the only reason why I was gonna put up with doing this like look back at the first episode just came up, and I think it's gonna come up again because repetitively in this episode I say the book came out in 1994.
I remember thinking didn't. As you were saying this, that doesn't sound
it's
right
not-
but I trust her.
And I knew like even I think when I was editing it, I was wrong. And I think actually I have re-edited the episode description for episode one saying Hannah's saying, oh, not only does it say the audio quality is bad, it improves in season three, but it says Hannah repetitively says 1994. She means 1997. But to repeat myself here, I'm so annoyed at myself. Then episode wrong, I got the release date of the book wrong. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Especially because one of the reasons that we started this podcast was because we were really fed up of Harry Potter podcasts where like the people would just not seem to know anything.
I know. And then like, I make such a
there were
basic
so many
error.
Where they'd be like, oh, we're such big Harry Potter fans, and then they would be talking about some really basic thing like I don't know, what's this spell? And they'd be like, oh, we don't know. And it's like, well, you're not a big fan. And I'm saying that as someone with a really bad memory. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't remember like the basic plot lines
or
of Harry
Potter.
Or
they'd be like, oh, I don't remember Peeves. And it's like, because they'd only watch the film or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And we were fed up a podcast like that. So that was one of the reasons. So then for Hannah to be like... get the year wrong.
I'm really shocked we don't get more tweets about this. Like, we haven't got any that I got the year, the release year wrong in our first episode.
I think we got one. I remember seeing something, or it might have been a DM or something. I think we did get one.
I know I'm going to say it again in this episode, and I would just like to put it on the record that I knew almost immediately I'm wrong, and I hate myself. I hate myself.
Only you would hate yourself for that.
I do.
In primary school and seeing a film poster for the first Harry Potter film.
I can
in my
hear you
school.
Breathing.
I think this is
people can still hear me breathing in episodes nowadays. So
film poster in my primary school.
What's changed?
They thought it was to get kids into reading.
No, but
at the time, they did really want people to get into Harry Potter.
But like, not like in a classroom, on like the outside of the...
Oh no, that's a fake memory. You're thinking of a poster you saw in town and like transplanting it onto your school.
Yeah, I am. But what I do know from texting my mum is that a childhood friend that we had called Michael, he was really into the books, got my sister
shout
into the
out
books,
to Michael
got me into the audiobooks. But as for my first memory of Harry Potter, I genuinely don't have one. For me,
it's so
it's
early.
Always been there.
Yeah,
it always has. But for me,
yeah,
because
according
to
Hannah, the year that I was born,
and I think it must have been
gonna kill myself
at least the fourth book until I ever remotely attempted. I think it was maybe the fifth book.
I'm making a throat noise. I can hear myself going
fifth book to start with.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
But yeah, but it's because I was dyslexic, so I was a huge fan of all books, but particularly Harry Potter, and I always used to have to listen to them on audiobook. So the early Harry Potter books, whenever they were released, it was a big torture for me because I would have to wait the queues in the library to get the audiobooks. Yeah. And it would be like 4 weeks after my sister finished the book for me to get the audiobook to then listen to it. And then when I was diagnosed at 10 as being dyslexic, I challenged myself. I was right, okay, I want to read the Harry Potter books. By the time that the final one comes out, I want to be able to read the final 7th book by myself. That's and I can't amazing. Remember how many books we were in at the time. So I started reading from the first book, and the first book I think took me 6 months to finish by myself, which is a very small book.
Yes.
And it took me 6 months of like solidly
reading. But if that's
reading.
The first book you've ever read, that's also an amazing experience that, yeah, for you that to was... have Harry Potter being the first full-on book that you yourself yeah. were motivated to
yeah,
go
the
and
final
read.
Book when it came out years later, I read in a night.
That's
no,
yeah, it's like your progression.
Yeah, and I credit.
Was editing on GarageBand? I don't know what I was doing. You really were a fan
and
of that fade.
Me, I think within a year of being diagnosed, I caught up in terms of reading age with the entire rest of my class. Mm. And by the time I went to high school,
I do that a lot.
Within 2 years of being diagnosed, I had overtaken the rest of my class in terms of reading age, and I credit it to Harry Potter.
Emotional story time. Thank you. That was very early for an emotional story. I just gave Charlie a sarcastic clap because I'm not very good at showing genuine emotion. But that is actually a really
lovely story. You've not changed.
So now, your question right back at you. What's your youngest memory of Harry Potter?
So I think my mum found out about the books through a review in a newspaper. I might have to fact check this with her, but I'm pretty sure she
never
fact
checked it
with her. Got the Harry Potter books to an early review in a newspaper that said, you know, this is going to be, it was one of those reviews that at the time only Philosopher's Stone was out, and it said something like, this is going to be the next Alice in Wonderland, and it's appropriate for adults as well. Adults have got to read it as well. And my mum went out and bought the book, and not only did she buy the book, she bought one of the original hard copies of Philosopher's Stone, which again, for anyone that doesn't live
I
in
still
Britain,
have it.
It's impressive to own a hardback edition of Philosopher's Stone with the original wizard on the back, not Dumbledore.
I don't think I've ever even seen that.
It's not a first edition. It's a 16th printing.
Well, duh.
But it is an early edition hardback. So that shows how early my mum got into it.
I remember
is my mum and dad both liked it, which was pretty like, wow, my mum and dad both reading this
children's
and
book.
In all honesty, all of my earliest memories, I remember asking my mum if I could read the Harry Potter books, yeah. Aww. Because my parents were both reading them, and I was fascinated by the fact they were both reading this book that they told me was a children's book. So the first book was published in 1994, before
No,
I
it
was,
wasn't! Oh my
I
god!
Was born in early 1995.
Yeah, because you're Gen Z.
I'm millennial.
Fuck you!
I was born in early 1995, so by the time I was finally
the first
old
book was
enough
published
to read them, I think Prisoner of Azkaban was probably published. But I've been begging my mum to read them since as long as I can remember. And finally, when the audiobooks were done by Stephen
literally
Fry, which
the
must
trains.
Have been when they gained
I feel like I'm back in that flat.
Stephen Fry to be able to narrate them.
I know, it's
I
really
to
weird.
Look up when the audiobooks came out. My mum was like, great, okay, because your reading age probably isn't up to this point yet, 4-year-old child, so here are the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And my family used to go on holidays every summer where we'd drive. We wouldn't get the plane, we'd always drive to somewhere like France. So
get
we're
to the plane.
A 8- and 14-hour drive. So the only thing to keep me quiet was the Harry Potter Stephen Fry audiobook. So we both got into it by listening to the audiobooks.
Yeah.
As a child, I was addicted to story audiobooks because of the amount we drove. And then I remember finally being old enough to read them, probably around age 5, my mum let me read them. I was quite advanced for my
you
reading age.
You had a solid
age.
5, 6 years.
And I finished Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, God!
You just don't like it when I talk.
But I never
you're like, I'm just going to fade out every time Charlie talks.
Before I went to see the film.
I think our friendship's over. This is really awkward because we're like mid-podcast, but like,
I know.
That's not okay.
To be fair, the amount of times I've said that since,
I know.
And
you're still here.
And I will explain it more. I'll explain
I say,
it more
as I'm in your house.
Essentially,
anticipation.
Anticipation. Something happened. I stopped Stephen reading. Fry. And what was interesting was when I was rereading
this. Jesus!
Did you hear
what were you
Stephen
doing? Can we all give me a round of applause for my editing skill improvement, please?
I definitely don't hear
I wish we still had the original file to.
Do you know what?
I do on a hard drive somewhere.
I think I do. I think the night when I re-edit it this week, I was on about 2 hours sleep. Yeah. So I'm honestly.
Oh, nothing changes. You complaining about having 2 hours sleep to make your notes.
Stephen Fry's voice, which I'm not complaining.
So that is a lot of introductory backstory to me and Charlie. You'll notice that we haven't told you which Hogwarts house we're in because we're saving that for the sorting chapter. But if we have enough listeners that would like to tell us what house they think we're going to be in,
we still get tweets.
No one's ever right.
It will all be revealed in the sorting chapter.
Literally, I'd say like 1 in 20 people have got it right in the last 3 years.
Yeah. if anyone like to guess.
If we're famous by now.
If
I get
like
people getting you wrong.
In,
I don't get people getting me wrong.
No, I get a lot of Ravenclaw and quite a lot of Hufflepuff.
But I get people thinking you're Ravenclaw, but I just...
We start off...
Maybe I perceive myself wrong, but I just feel like I'm really obviously Slytherin.
And I actually have a point I would like to make about this.
Straight away, let's go.
Great. So we learn a few things about Mr. Dursley in the like second chapter. So we learn that he has an office job, that he gets really irritated by all the people on the streets, and people bumping into him. You know, we know that he treats himself to a nice barn at lunchtime. We know that he spends basically the entire day thinking about a cat. And I just want to ask, when did I become Vernon Dursley?
So for more context on me and Charlie,
the way you blew
we both
out that
work
Mick.
Office jobs in marketing. I'm not going to say too much more
but
than that.
But this was, we used to go to Greg's together.
Marketing jobs.
We used to go to Greg's together and like get treats and stuff.
I've just realised we should both take one ear cup off because I can't hear you and this is a lot easier.
In an office every day dreaming about cuddling cats.
Yeah, we did used to go get Greg's together. Do you remember sometimes we would try to go and get a meal out, a pizza in a restaurant? Within the hour lunch break.
Do you think
that was always really stressful.
It was. We'd be like, could you bring the bill now, please? Yeah, we'd go and get a Franco
Banker. We know you got back from lunch, because we went out for lunch.
And now I'm like, if that happened, I wouldn't be stressed. I'd be like, if I'm 10 minutes late, I'm 10 minutes late.
Exactly. But we used to be like,
that was impressive that we did it in an hour.
The point I made about the book being introduced through Mr. Dursley is that it's interesting that the first introduction you have to Harry Potter is through a muggle's perspective. So basically, I feel like what J.K. Rowling was trying to do was that you're being introduced to the world through a lens that you already know.
We did start as we meant to continue. You're making like
world.
A really like intelligent literary point and I'm like kitty and food. I'm Mr. Dursley.
I think that's maybe why people stuck with us. We have a brand. We stuck to it.
And we stuck to it.
And now it's terrifying whenever I do make an intelligent point.
I can imagine one day walking into work and being like, why is everyone dressed funny? So she doesn't... I think a lot of fantasy books like throw you into, here's all the magic and amazing. Whereas Harry Potter is actually, rereading it, it's an incredibly slow build.
It's mundane.
To the magic. It's very mundane at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like that you just had this really like intelligent, like beautiful...
Oh no.
And I was essentially like, huh, I like buns and cats. And yet,
no!
It's kind of the same.
Yeah. When will this be a continuing theme of the podcast?
We literally just said that, and then previous us just said that.
Tuesday, our story
absolute
starts.
Gold. That's so funny.
And this is a fascinating.
It's almost like we're the same people.
This is where I'm going to break into English language. I'm sorry.
God.
Is the only chapter I can think of in all seven books.
This is literally just episode inception.
The books are written from a third person limited view.
No.
So essentially it's not I and me, it's Harry did this, Harry did that. But the narrator isn't
omniscient. Actually, I still think, I was about to roll my eyes, but I still think this is a fascinating point, so I actually don't care. And I've never heard another Harry Potter podcast bring this up, so I don't care.
Narration point of view, which I actually hope I can keep on commenting on in future podcasts.
But I can 100% see why most of the tweets say I'm a Ravenclaw.
That's very interesting because it's different to other books, the times where she chooses to break it. But saying dull grey Tuesday morning, our story starts, the narrator is acknowledging that it's a story.
Yeah.
And there's no other point in the books where this is acknowledged as a story. And what that's implying is that by this point, Harry's story is already completed, as in the seventh book is already finished. And the narrator, whoever this narrator is looking back on the entire thing. And what I find interesting is, We all know that the first book is more whimsical than the rest of it, isn't it? Yeah. And the rest of them, isn't it? She was going for a very whimsical thing, and then she got more and more kind of dark.
Yeah.
But also how similar we are.
Definitely more whimsical. And I think this kind of ties into that. She was kind of writing it as a much despite
the. Do you mean how far we've come in terms of us as people, or literally that we're on the fifth book?
Literally that we're on the fifth book.
As a fantasy story.
Yeah.
Whereas
we're both people that struggle to commit to
things. Imagine, hold on.
Something that's happening in real life.
Can you just imagine, like, someone or us two telling this little Hannah and Charlie, like, walking in and being like, yeah, 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 3 years later, you're still writing this podcast, you're on book five, and a week ago you just got back from Albania to record an episode.
And also, you're in a global pandemic.
Don't know, no, I was saying that something nice about the podcast. Don't know, don't bring COVID up. Backtrack, backtrack.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. We are both quite bad at sticking to things.
We're very bad at sticking to things. We have that personality trait in common.
Yeah, and we just have kept each other accountable.
We really have. Like, I 100% would not spend hours, my evenings after work and my weekends editing, and you wouldn't spend your Sunday evenings uploading and writing the episode tags and everything like that if it weren't for holding each other accountable.
Yeah. And also, like, I feel like it was that at first, but now it's the fact that we do have so many people that for some reason listen, that
yeah, like,
it's we have those people to keep us accountable. Because, like, could you imagine if we actually did, like, if we did want to stop right now, like, and not I don't mean this in a big-headed way, just in a realistic way, we would literally be disappointing thousands of people.
No, literally, like, the other week we had to delay an episode by a week just because we both... We went abroad, we did the charity podcast, and we both got ill. And, like, oh, so I tweeted out and put an Instagram story, like, episode's going to be delayed a week, sorry. And we had a lot of messages, like, but from all sorts of lovely people being like, oh, I'm so sad, I was so looking forward to it, but totally understand. And also being like, oh, I really hope you two are okay, I hope you're resting up. Like, loads of messages. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, no one was angry that we were delaying it a week. Please don't think I'm saying that. I was just like... Oh my God, people were sitting there waiting for the episode to be uploaded until I tweeted being like, really sorry, we need a week. Yeah. Like, we're both not very well.
And even the last episode, like, had to go up a lot later than it usually did in the day because I had no Wi-Fi. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go with TalkTalk. So it had to go up, like, quite a lot later than it normally does because I literally couldn't download it. And, like, the, you know, people be like, oh, I normally listen to it, like, you know, in the mornings when I'm doing, like, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Blame TalkTalk.
It's madness. Whereas when we recorded this episode and the next, I mean, technically, basically the next five, we had no listeners, zero, because we were trying to record in advance. Imagine trying to record in advance.
We used to be...
Like, at one point, we were 10 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
Right now, we are so on the, like, on the brink of being behind. It's terrifying.
And I think it's going to get better now. We just went through a particularly busy, like, month and a half.
Summer has always been hard with this podcast. Like, winter is always easier.
But particularly, like, the past month and a half, especially, because, like, you went on holiday. We went on holiday.
Yeah.
So it should be better now.
No, it should be.
But we're normally no more than, like, one or two ahead at a time.
Yeah. Well, because we kind of experimented, like, at the beginning, we got that far ahead because we thought it would be good for us. But then we realized it wasn't because topical things we were talking about were outdated. When we got a tweet in, it was no longer relevant. Like, there's a fine line of what the right amount to be ahead is. But
yeah,
I just know that we were both sitting there during this recording session thinking, this is fun, this could be something we'll do, but, like, we're both serial quitters.
Yeah.
And yeah, imagine being like, you two will go to Albania on a holiday together.
Yeah.
And record an episode.
And hopefully next year, America.
America. Do you want a top up of Prosecco?
Oh, yes, please.
You actually have to pass your glass. I don't have Slender Man arms.
I was actually trying to move it with my eyes.
Right, like Matilda.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Oh, do you want a bit more than that?
No, it's okay.
Okay, let's listen to the shitbag Hannah and Charlie.
Now. Yeah.
It essentially turns into one giant metaphor.
Exactly. And I went and looked at the end of the seventh book and the end of the first book to check whether it broke the fourth wall again to finish the story.
Of course.
And it doesn't. So this is the only point in all seven books where it breaks the fourth wall. And I found that fascinating.
That is very interesting.
So now let's move on to more...
I have another question for you.
Great!
On a slightly... This is something I personally... It's like I hate you. I want to know what your thoughts
are. You still do.
All my heart, believe that Vernon and Petunia Dursley is the greatest romance in the entire Harry Potter
series. I take it back. I rescind this statement.
Oh, you just want me to discuss this as a point?
Discuss.
Is it because they support each other no matter what?
Essentially, yeah, because when you think about how...
Take it back.
And I want to say, I think that there is a Pottermore chapter on...
I see where
Vernon.
I was coming from,
there
but
is.
I take it back.
I've not read it.
Do you take it back based on the fact that you think Vernon Dursley is abusive and towards Petunia and that's why they seem like a strong relationship? Yeah. I mean, this is the
Vernon
thing about running
anti,
a podcast in chronological order. Our ideas are allowed to change.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Point in their relationship. Petunia has
might even changed between the time we record and when we
it's the vodka.
Did you enjoy my latest inserts in the episode
Denmark,
about the name that
yeah,
I can
Swedish
gold yeah
lemonade vodka?
Okay, Petunia.
Petunia has had to like sit down this very like straight laced traditional anti anything different man, and explain and somehow convince him that her sister
convince
is
him.
A witch and that magic is real.
And she
I do stand by
him without
this
him
part of it,
out.
But I just think that now...
And that he's not
you know,
been like, you
I say
freak,
now, you know,
weirdo,
when
you're
the
mental,
books were...
blah, blah, blah. Like,
the modern day in terms of the story.
Most men do that just for you being female.
Oh no, she's expressing an opinion.
So.
You freak,
yeah, no.
Get out.
I definitely see the point you were making.
You know,
with that.
Like
100%.
That.
And definitely if we're looking at the first book from just
like,
what it is as a book, then you're right.
Accepted this about her and that this is real and stood by her and not seen her as weird or other or foreign or a freak must mean that behind how evil and horrible they are, there is an amazing romance there.
I've never thought about it I've never thought about it like that, and that is
oh, why didn't
that
I cut that mistake out?
We all vilify kind of the Dursleys because I can't imagine anyone I know whose nephew comes to them as an orphan and who doesn't at least care for them in a basic way. But yeah, there is love there, and they love each other.
The sound of you pouring us another drink.
You're right. Like, and when
also,
you see
but I like that you said that as if you know loads of people that
Marge,
their nephews have come to them as orphans.
Is the way he is.
Like, I don't know anyone's said, nephew came to them as a
witch,
child orphan that wasn't kind to them.
Yeah.
And my family,
and also,
yeah, I do.
true, but were they literally babies?
And I'm not, like,
no,
exactly.
They were
like,
children.
Oh,
exactly.
Out. He's still got a son. You know, we know what men can be like. And
men
what
ain't
women
shit.
Rustling the notebook. I say rustling the notebook in the background. I still do that now, so I can fuck off.
Quite impressive.
Yeah. See?
Okay.
Love story for the ages.
So we've basically gone through.
No.
Vernon Dursley notices a cat, goes to work, notices some weird things going on, and
me.
Comes back
Great
home.
Thanks, Hannah.
It's just me.
What I'm wondering is, I have a question for you.
Yeah, that was really needed.
On the street, who are all celebrating? They're on the street all day. They're talking about Harry Potter.
We love.
They've known since midnight. The news has broken that Voldemort is gone.
I mean, at least this episode was only 45 minutes long
drunk.
Rather than
1 hour of one and a half hours.
We did drunk. Like
yes.
our
right.
intros
okay,
and two chapters. Anyways.
So
right?
then
yeah.
we move
Wild.
On to the introduction to McGonagall.
It's because you wouldn't let me talk about anything
and
else.
I noted that it's a great introduction
it's probably
to
because the chapter's
so
only about three pages in the first
form,
book.
And that.
Strict. We don't really get much of her funny side of her personality in the first book. But in this opening chapter, she sat on a wall all day as a cat.
McGonagall's dad is still here. Like,
so
nothing changes.
I thought, oh, maybe
Those
Dumbledore sent
muscles.
Her. Rereading this, no. Dumbledore didn't expect mm-hmm. her to be there.
I sat in a chair
so
for A&E for, like,
herself,
a few hours last week. And my ass was so numb.
Heard
Could you imagine being on a wall
about
all
where
day?
Harry might have been going and chose by herself to go sit on this wall all day and watch where Harry was going to end up. And doesn't that show so early on, like,
yeah.
the loving,
yeah.
amazing...
McGonagall is a babe.
I
like,
think this entire podcast could
yeah,
be named McGonagall's Stan
this
account.
This
yeah.
This cat
I think, yeah, out of all of the characters that we rave about, she's got to be the number
the
one.
100%, which
McGonagall.
I am absolutely happy with saying.
Yeah,
have we ever criticised her? I don't
watch
think so. There's nothing to criticise. She is
Lily and James.
She did. And this is was like something that I made note on, because when the first time you read this book, or the first few times after when you're reading it without having completed the series, or even just without an adult reading, like we're kind of doing now, actually taking an adult considerate reading.
Yeah.
You read her finding out that Lillian James are dead, and you kind of have no context on that. You just think, oh, there's some, you know, adult
dead.
Yeah, yeah, like they're adults that she knows, some adult couple that she knows, and she's found out they're dead, and you know they've fought in a war with her, and that's
See,
that's all
make
you
notes.
Know.
Yeah, you
and
didn't make plot
she's
notes.
Really sad about it. And
no, I didn't. But I did make.
But that's
good
all,
notes.
You know, reading this back, you actually know that what she's hearing about is a couple of 21-year-old people, not adults,
she
like 21-year-old
for 7 years.
Yeah,
it's like they
all
were
right,
her
Hannah.
Pupil.
That was very
yeah.
Passionate.
She knew them. They were in her house since they were 11 years old.
They were the
she...
head boy and girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
that just sounds like
God,
she was keeping them
so
hostage.
Yeah.
They were in her basement. House.
They've grown up under her care, being in her house. She's watched their romance blossom. She's seen them grow up, grown together, join the order, have a child, and then they're
it's
21, which... Me
it's
and Hannah,
bigger than us two.
Yeah, we're 23.
Sometimes. And now it's a lot.
Like, oh, we're 23.
And she found out that a couple of 21-year-olds.
Do you remember being
23? It's not
no.
adult.
No.
We're not adult. They're not adult.
They have a one-year-old child.
They have a one-year-old. And she's found out that these people that
I think
she's
this is the year of my life where just nothing happened.
Dead.
That's
we started the podcast.
And, like...
Right at the end.
Mm. I just can't... It completely makes sense. Why
yeah,
she
I moved
on that
to London
yeah,
when
I'm shocked
I was 23.
She's the only
you
person
did.
That is there sitting on that wall.
I guess not
I just
everyone
worked
know the,
this year.
I guess she was
address.
One. Yeah,
that's what
and
you
got to
do when you start a job.
Order, she's one of the only ones that would find this out. But
no, as in like you didn't have any money. You were in an internship. Well,
she
what are you going to
okay,
fucking do?
Let's move on. So then the Dursleys go to sleep.
Oh, God.
And the narration, again, I'm switching back to narration point of view. The narration switches to Dumbledore mid-chapter. So Dumbledore appears on the street with... The put outer.
Don't get me started.
Now, what I've found out recently from other Harry Potter
Don't
podcasts
get me started.
Is it's only
Don't
called
get me started.
Illuminated
Us saying
in book 7
other Harry Potter podcasts rather
okay,
than Potterless.
So, I...
Sorry, Mike.
Okay, this is something that I think, but I also have a point against it. I don't think that it's actually... called the put outer here as in that is the name of the thing.
Right.
The only thing that goes against this is I think that it is capitalized in the book, which would suggest
Ooh.
That it is the name.
We might have to I'm fact checking that now as Charlie continues to
yeah.
talk.
So I believe that it's capitalized.
It is weird here that we're
name,
talking about
me,
something
you know,
that like
you don't know what something's called
based on
like,
we only
oh,
noticed because like Potterless brought it up and now we've like
what it does.
Done an episode with Mike. Like that's kind
of
weird.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So of course it's the thing that puts out
yeah
lights.
The thing that put out like it just puts stuff out. I'm gonna call it the put outer because it's from a muggle narration.
No, I understand that.
So for me it wasn't called the put outer like this is what this thing is
Thanks
called
for that.
It was called the put outer because that's just what it did and it was like a very like reductionist point of view. The only thing that goes against
reductionist.
It's capitalized.
I just talked out my arse. You're like, if I say long words, I will sound smart. I still do it now.
We'll discuss this. There's a lot of objects and items that become more important as the books go on. And the question
I really wish
how
that you just
important.
Said, there's a lot of objects and items.
How important did she know some of these things were? We'll
I feel like I'm
over-enunciating
more than
I
do now, but maybe I do over-enunciate this
one.
Much.
Oh, I'm going to bring the put outer back.
I think she pulled that out for her.
No, yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah.
You're...
Yeah,
and I just...
So she changed the name.
I think,
more
I, think I was nervous.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's involvement in the seventh book.
Ironically, I think
so
I say
like
less then than I do now.
You do, yeah.
Insignificant detail or object.
Which makes all fans go, which it did me at the time. I was like, oh my God, she's going back to this thing.
And I think that's what she tried to do with the put out.
That was us in the last episode when I was like,
oh,
it's the rat.
I don't think the purpose that it served to Ron in the seventh
no,
book.
No, that's the episode coming up. Sorry, everyone.
I mean, we will talk about this in book 7, but it is a convenience plot point and a half.
Yeah, but at the same time,
we had a lot of faith in us with that statement.
Because if it
Good
was like,
for us.
Ron suddenly magically had this thing that took him back, I would have been like, that's weird.
You're like, oh,
yeah.
I was going to
so
quit
I understand
next week. How do I tell her?
Okay. So then Dumbledore sits on the wall and offers Professor McGonagall a sherbet lemon. And this is one of the points where you realise that book one is so much more fucking whimsical than the rest of the books. Like, there's all these things in book one. We'll get to the point of the speech in the Great Hall where he just says some, Dumbledore just says some random words. She was trying to make it all, ooh, wizards are random. They just say silly things. And that
XD, lol.
Exactly. And that left about halfway through book two.
See,
but
when we are making later me laughs. Like, yeah. Clearly, this is why people kept listening.
This book
so
is.
Fucking whimsical.
So then, Professor McGonagall.
Oh my god, cut out the arm.
Each other, Dumbledore is telling McGonagall that the Potters are dead. A point I had is, why are they calling each other Professor? There's a point where
maybe
she...
it's a kinky thing.
Oh dear god.
No, he's gay. What are you... what? Bi people exist.
She didn't say he was bi, but fine.
She also didn't say he was gay until after publication.
That's true. Okay, we'll talk about that in later episodes as well.
Yeah.
But there's a point where she's upset. There
were points made.
The rest of the time they're calling each other Professor, which at this point, I think they've known each other around 40 years. I'm a bit worried about why they're calling each other Professor.
It can only be a kinky thing.
Okay, great. Let's move on.
Okay, moving on.
you still do that now. I mean, last episode you were literally like, gay beefcake centaurs. And I was like, we are moving on. Bear in mind, that is the most recent named episode when my latest company have just published my podcast on their LinkedIn. Because they're like, look what our new employee does. And the latest episode is gay beefcake centaurs.
I will not apologize.
You should.
What else? You listened to that episode.
No, no, the best bit was gay.
It was like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Of course she didn't know.
No, she didn't.
She got endlessly rejected by publishers.
But do you think she wrote that thinking, I've heard so she should have. She said, I knew when I wrote that line.
You wouldn't want this not to be published.
If it got published, it would
be. If Harry Potter wasn't published, we wouldn't be as close of friends right now, so yeah.
She's
been a cocky little shit then.
Oh,
like, there's
dear.
Any number of these, like, YA kids, young adult books.
Oh, yeah, like, 100%. I just find that
really
line...
cocky little shit.
I just find that
Come
line really interesting. Okay.
She wasn't an out-and-out transphobe.
Whereas
I
am
was all suspicion.
Yeah.
Oh, no! I just said I'm quite a big fan of Jake. No,
cancel
the podcast!
We can't... They can't see... Podcast listeners can't see if we have a physical fight.
Okay, if anyone listens to this, we'll set up a Patreon where you can sponsor us to physically fight.
Great, okay. okay, here's...
That
anyway,
reminds
I'm
me
sorry
we need for
to do
saying
that.
I was a
Dumbledore
fan of J.K. Rowling. It was 2018.
We could actually edit in...
midnight.
Yeah,
on the
amendment, if you want to.
Yep. Lily and James were killed at around
it's easy
midnight
to spot
on the 31st of October.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's been 24 hours.
Oh, no,
where
it's not this bit.
The fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's this bit.
Has
this
Harry
comes up
been?
Now. Yep. Swaddled in Hagrid's arms.
For 24 hours? Where has Hagrid
this
been?
This is such a good
He's
point.
He's on a flying... It's been 24... This is something
we still
I only
get messages
realised
about
because
this.
I was analytically reading this chapter for this
analytically.
Podcast.
Analytically. Well done,
where
Hannah.
Where yeah. have they been?
I need to see an entire film of this 24 hours.
It could be a film.
Like, a condensed 24 hours, like, Hagrid tries to raise this fucking
but
baby.
But why was there a 24-hour gap? And what were they... I just don't understand if J.K. Rowling factored in this 24-hour gap.
Okay, so it's 24 hours, but there's got to be a few hours between when they died and when Harry was...
Picked up by Harry, of course. But
Hagrid.
There can't be more than 12 because he would die. Like, he's a baby.
Yeah. And then a few hours... I mean, what I picked up when I read this was that they flew over Bristol. I was like, where the fuck were they coming from?
Ah, I had to look this up because I had an argument with my boyfriend about
like,
it.
Like, fucking Bristol.
Neil.
So, Godric's Hollow
That's weird that
I
called him my boyfriend rather than Neil.
Cornwall, and they're flying to Surrey.
This was before he
so
was the
Bristol
main star of the fucking
does it?
Podcast.
Yeah.
But isn't Bristol a... above Surrey?
Oh, look at us discussing
was
geography.
But anyway, flying on a magical motorbike,
oh,
maybe it's
it
a slow motorbike, but I'm worried about this 24-hour... Basically, I'm worried about this 24-hour gap. And I wanted to know any opinions that you had on what was happening in this 24-hour gap.
I honestly think that Hagrid
Where
was
have you gone?
Somewhere
I just left.
Harry.
A pouring us new drinks, I can hear you doing it.
Attempting
That's our third drink.
To take care of this baby.
Go
us. Flying only...
You've literally walked away from the microphone.
I like that'll do. Some care of
There you go, you're back.
Facebook. He essentially... I mean, it's a miracle he didn't chuck
Charlie
him
learns
fire,
how
like,
microphones work.
And he
microphone. We had
who was meant to like
Sirius Black.
Sirius Black. And I realised this not on this time reading it, but probably only on my 20th
what are you doing in the background?
A couple of years ago, that Sirius Black is mentioned in chapter one.
Yes, he is.
And that's great. And yep. I just want to point out that people say she didn't foreplan stuff, but there's definitely some
foreplanning
there.
She, like anyone who says she didn't plan it, is just wrong.
Yeah, seriously,
right
like
there.
I do think like some stuff she puts to out of convenience, but I think the overarching plot, like, there's no denying, like, she sat down and she timelined the fuck out of this.
Yeah, and I'm impressed that Sirius Black's motorbike is mentioned in that chapter. Do you have any more notes before I make another point about Hagrid?
No, go on.
Okay.
I could have cut that out, Hannah. Thank you.
Twice as tall and five times
as
wide.
I spent so long picturing this.
Thank you. As a normal man. Now, I know Hagrid is meant to be
okay,
big,
I'm starting to get why people enjoyed this.
This is funny. Calling the police.
I'm actually really impressed.
I can only picture him.
I thought it was going to be worse.
Depicted in the films,
I'm annoyed the fuck out of myself.
How big was he depicted in the films? Probably 10 foot.
Yeah,
but
like,
so have I.
Kind of like one person.
As in me, not you.
So like 10 feet.
Not you, not me.
What I want to say is her descriptions early on.
Not
are
me.
Cartoonish.
Not yeah, mine.
Yeah. However, yeah.
You.
Bearing in mind that we are two British people.
Okay.
If you are we?
Are
we?
Fucking
we haven't put
person,
that in all our metadata SEO.
Like, look up at them and then look down immediately at the paper and like, oh no, I can't look at them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I just wonder, like, it's the same with the description of the Dursleys. Aunt Petunia's neck is ridiculously long.
Yeah,
Mr. Dursley has a ridiculously large moustache.
Yeah, like, Petunia needs surgery.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay.
She's describing them in a cartoonish way.
She is. And that, again, it's whimsical child book. It's very caricatural.
Child
yeah,
book?
That gets less nice.
What are we doing? It's whimsical child
well,
book.
We've got
how to
yeah.
speak like
normal
people. Well, you've poured us three drinks by this point because I can hear us in the audio pouring the drink.
I think it's that
a baby dolphin.
I won't lie, I've never been around many baby dolphins, so I don't have a lot of room for comparison. But
the
I,
baby dolphins
I
have
feel
a
like
name.
That's not proportionate. Like,
as in,
if
like
he's
baby cows are calves.
The height, then he should have double the foot size. And I, again, I'm really not an authority on baby dolphins, but I feel like that's not right.
Okay.
You didn't make a big feet, big penis joke.
Do you have any notes before that?
Wow.
No, I have the same because...
Can I make one now?
So Dumbledore leaves him. He leaves a tiny one-year-old baby on the doorstep.
Yes.
And can I just say, like, Dumbledore is anti-social goals. He, like, just did not want to have that conversation. So he's like, right, I'm just going to, like, you know...
I'm just going to leave this baby on the doorstep.
Just leave it.
I've written a letter.
A letter's fine.
I hate
can I make a point? It's the first
of God,
November.
God, the thing we do.
It's England. England, for anyone that doesn't know, 1st of November around midnight.
It's
we're talking
cold.
About
baby
3 degrees,
day.
Probably. 3 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
A baby, if, let's say he's leaving at midnight, Aunt Petunia wakes up at 7,
yeah.
Baby would die.
Baby would die.
Baby would 100% die. You cannot leave babies on doorsteps in November.
Yeah, and... I was just more just bowled away by, like, what an antisocial icon he is. Like, I can't say I would do any different. Like, awkward conversation? No thanks.
I'll leave a letter.
Baby for 12 hours. And then also, like, I have a really important note. Hannah, when leaving your flat, what way does your front door open?
I know. Oh! It opens inwards, not outwards, but I know your point.
Mine opens outwards. I'm just saying, this is a bit of a gamble.
Oh, I've catapulted that baby outwards. Did he check the way the hinges were facing?
Probably not, because it's Dumbledore, but I'm just saying she might have opened that door in the morning to get her milk, just fucking punted Harry across her garden.
Oh, no, but Harry would have been dead, because it's the 1st of November, and he's a baby.
He's
so he would be a frozen block of ice she's punching across her front garden.
Any different start to the Harry Potter books just from Petunia's
and Harry Potter survived Voldemort but died from being left on a
died,
doorstep
yeah,
and then
from
this is without a doubt
the
funniest
joke
we've ever made on the podcast.
Yes, but also the one that we get messaged about the most. I think this joint with Norfolk.
Yeah,
and I know that it makes sense because it's in our first episode, so it, you know, gets the most listens, but like we get so many messages about this. I stand by it. It's funny. What I also love about it is that, like, without both of us this joke wouldn't have happened. You had the like
the ice block,
the whole temperature thing. I had the where were the hinges on the door?
Yeah,
and it just came together
in the most beautiful. And I'm really sorry we haven't. This has really spurred me on to find a cartoonist to draw this for us, because I personally need it on a t-shirt, I need it on a notebook, I need it on a mug, like. And like, if I listen to this without knowing the podcast, I would be laughing out loud on public transport at that. Like, that's just fucking funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, but you're right. Like, this and Norfolk, we get the most messages about.
Definitely. And I am really surprised at like how much I'm enjoying this. Like, there are parts where I just do want to kill myself listening to myself. But we did some jokes and we were relatively funny.
We did some serious points. We did some jokes. Like,
I'm really surprised. I thought that this was going to be horrendous, and I'm actually surprised that I do quite see the merit in this.
And also, just a note about like the audio quality thing. Whenever I'm listening for more than 2 minutes, I do stop noticing it. So like, I can see how people just forget about it. Like, people will be noticing now because they're switching back and forth. But like, I'm kind of like, what? I've stopped noticing it. Like, you just get used to it.
Yeah.
Not that it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have improved, because we should have, but yeah, like, this is funny. And we have actually really good chemistry. Like, obviously we didn't like meet for the first time doing this podcast. We had been friends for like 6 months before this.
But like,
and we had known
friends.
Each other longer than that. But like, I'm surprised at how much we're bouncing off each other, considering this is the first time we had ever done anything like this together.
Yeah. Same. I agree. I also love that we're just talking about like frozen dead babies in the first episode. Like, we really set the tone that we then continued.
Yeah. Frozen dead babies.
And I mean, one, I think that is quite a British thing of having this really dark sense of humour.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, there's a lot of obviously really funny other Harry Potter podcasts. Like, the first one that comes to mind when we're talking about just having this like quite like dark and rude sense of humor, obviously, is like Fanatical Fix.
Yeah.
So like, there are those podcasts out there. But when I really think about like kind of opening episodes, especially because it often is before people really warm into it, a lot of people do go with the more analytical route.
Yeah.
Whereas we fully just went straight in there with the dead babies. So I do understand where people would have seen the appeal, even if I do hate myself and don't see how anyone could listen to me.
I'm just so glad that joke was like so readily there for both of us to do. But that also, like, the messages we get is like, I'd never thought about this before. No other podcast would point this out. And I had never heard it before. Like, it's November 1st. And now Harry Baby Doorstop Day is a day we celebrate on Instagram. The photos we took last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Harry Baby Doorstop Day.
Yeah. R.I.P. Harry.
Punted by a door.
Yeah. Just
also, that word punted just came up again.
Oh, yeah. And that's chapter one.
That is basically chapter one. I have Dumbledore cast a heating charm around him, but we're not told. Oh, I have one
more
point.
Many blankets. And to be honest, like, because I was so deliriously tired when I was reading this, and there was a lot of references to like how swaddled in blankets he was. I was like, I'm really fucking jealous of this baby right now.
It just
sounded quite comfortable.
I have one last point. It's the 1st of November and Dumbledore says he'll see McGonagall soon. That's midterm. It's Tuesday, midterm. So but are we to believe that because of either that this whole year at Hogwarts was cancelled due to the threat of Voldemort, or they've all been let off for this week because they need to celebrate because Voldemort's been defeated?
I bring up a
it's
good
one
point.
Of those two.
I'm not
either.
Wrong.
I would buy like
wrong.
This. Essentially, like a massive piss up after. Yeah. But
they've
feel
sent the kids
like,
home because Voldemort's been defeated.
I feel at this point that Hogwarts would not be running.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that with you because I'm like, it's a Tuesday in the 1st of November, like term is meant to be running.
Yeah. No, I feel like very much at this point, like it was mid-war, like massive war.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Hogwarts was shut, although Hogwarts was never the most logical in that respect.
No. Okay. We had to very quickly do chapter two because as I reread it, I realised that
how quickly
fuck all happens.
I can see on the timestamp that there's only 10 minutes left.
10 years have
passed. We must have rushed through it.
And we get another kind of slow build-up reveal of what's going on. You have literally one line of notes, so I'll take over from here.
Don't read it.
So we get a slow reveal of what's going
on. One line of notes for an entire chapter. Why am I such an icon?
Living in a cupboard under the stairs. So what I didn't realise is this isn't said in the first sentence. The first one of the first sentences relating to where Harry is says that Aunt Petunia knocked on the door. Her saying the door leads you to believe he's in a bedroom. But it's not until two paragraphs later that it says, Harry pulled a spider off his sock. There were a lot of spiders. Because Harry lived under the stairs. And I wanted to say that that's fucking sad.
I mean, it is.
It's sad. Yeah. It's just this kind of slow reveal of, and Harry's under the stairs. Here he is.
It is a thing that you never realise as a child that, like, he's, like, being abused. And not, like, a little bit abused. Which
but, like,
also
I do say
like
a lot.
Like, he's in an abusive household.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the things I picked up on reading the chapter that I didn't make a note on. Mm. But, like... yeah, there's a
I picked up on it, didn't write it down.
Not only how he classic. Lived and how he dressed.
I still do that.
No, you do. Like, you're like, I picked up on this.
And how he was treated but I just, and how he had
a lot of the time, I just, I'm like, I know like, I don't need to write it down because yeah, I am going to remember it. Like, no and I know that sounds ambitious with my memory, but it's because that we talk about stuff.
Like, yeah.
Or sometimes I don't write things down because I'm like, I don't need to because Hannah's going to write that down. I'm not even kidding. Genuinely, I do that.
If there was one kid that turned up.
I know what points you're going to make.
He was like treated like a prince and all new clothes and blah blah blah, and then his essentially his brother turned up wearing like what Harry
what
wore.
Am I talking about?
Yeah. You're talking about the fact that Harry's abused and that the school should have picked up
this
on it.
Is so sad because there's a point where Harry says when he's at the zoo, this is one of the happiest days he can remember. By this point, he's already been picked on by Dudley. He's already been talked as if he wasn't in the room, but it's the happiest day he can remember because he got an ice lolly. He's walking 2 feet behind the people he hates so they're not speaking to him. And he got a half-finished Knickerbocker Glory for lunch. And this is
back then, we felt bad for him. Us now would be like, it's because he's such a simpleton.
It's because Harry's a dick. Podcast dunks on Harry.
It is also, like, it is really sad. But at the same time, like, he's a bit of
I have rarely laughed so much in that episode I did recently where you were really dunking on Ron and I was like, maybe it's because he watched his friend die every year and that's traumatizing.
That's my future, Harry. Please stop being ungrateful. Yeah. Like, goals. Yeah. Life goals.
Yeah, and again, I had a question.
What was I saying as goals?
Squid.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Living under the stairs.
Do you mean like she planned to be there?
Yes. I mean, that
I think so.
It's then revealed in book 5 that she's a squib. She's been placed in
around cats. I would have been saying about the cats.
To look out for Harry. Yeah. Was that
oh yeah, the first episode of season 5 is literally called I Am Mrs. Fig.
Oh okay, you mean from a writing point.
That's one I'm not sure on.
I think she pulled it out of her ass.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I would say that that's like a, oh, this would be good.
Yeah. So essentially, Harry goes to the zoo with the Dursleys. It's described a lot how Harry's childhood is very miserable. There's not much positive going on. All the children bully him. He wears Dudley's hand-me-downs. It was sad. I read this as an adult, like, this is horrible. But then he's at the... Snake.
We really skim over this. We're just like, he's at the zoo. Mm-hmm.
Snake place.
And he starts talking to a snake, and a snake blinks snake at him. Hole. And what I wanted to ask you is, do snakes have eyes?
I've never paid a huge amount of attention.
No,
what was that?
You were like, do snakes have eyes? Like the baby dolphin thing. I mean, I spent more
I don't think snakes
time
do have eyelids.
Around snakes than I have dolphins.
Eyelids. Google. Snakes have no eyelids. So when that snake winks at Harry, Harry's fucking imagining it because he's so lonely and he creates a friend in the snake.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's done. The glass disappears. And this is one of those moments where the film and the book versions completely merge together for me. I think I listened to the book first, but I was so young when both the film and the book came out that... I still sometimes think when I read the book that Dudley's about to fall in and then the glass is going to reappear. And then I'm like, no, that's only in the film, Hannah.
Yeah. But like before this, like Harry has an entire fucking conversation with the snake. And like, this is the thing. I hadn't properly read this chapter in a long time. I've listened to it in audiobooks and I normally am kind of half asleep and blah, blah, blah. Like Harry doesn't remotely fucking question this conversation he has with the snake. Like there's not even a moment where he's like, ha, that was weird. He just like has a full-on conversation with the snake
because he's
snake
that
is, like,
lonely
pointing to things. No, but like even if you're lonely as a kid, like you question that, like you've just had a conversation with an animal and
we
he,
we learn from later books that Harry questions and notices nothing. Harry is
so
and
true.
As questioning as a coffee table. Like, no.
However, that's very true, like, past Hannah.
Yeah, but something that's always annoyed me, and like, I shouldn't really bring this up until a couple of chapters time, but it's relevant and it's a pet peeve. The bit when he's in King's Cross and he says to the guard, he's like, sorry. So he's just got his ticket off Hagrid. And he's like, but Hagrid, there is no chapter nine and three quarters. He's 10. And 10.
He's 11, but fine.
11, whatever. Like, I did not know, like, train platforms.
And also, the Dursleys never let him go anywhere. So how is he fucking know what a train platform is?
Exactly. They never let him go anywhere. And even if they did, it's not like it's his local train station.
Here comes the train nerd to tell us about trains.
Like, he'll maybe have been there like a handful of times.
What, to say that he wouldn't have known?
Not, because he never went anywhere. Like, why at 11 years old would you know whether there's a
platform? Oh, the train love grows, does it? It does.
He's like, weirdly, I'm always like, no.
Great. Looking forward to season 7 of this podcast. When I actually know things about trains. When, like, at the King's Cross chapter, you're like,
but then it just doesn't add up. It's like, okay, so like, he's not questioning that he's talking to a snake.
I want to learn more about trains. I just don't know where to start.
He questions things that,
if anyone listening can tell me where to learn about trains,
just Wikipedia the word trains.
I'm just going to Google the word train. Like in Twilight when she Googles the word vampire.
Exactly.
I know what you are.
You can't
a train?
Your guard, your children that are in your care.
Say it. Say
I didn't
it.
Know that. They don't feed him. There's points.
A train?
No, but I didn't know you had to feed children.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I think this Prosecco's gone to our heads.
They don't photosynthesize. And there's a point where he said he'd been locked in his cupboard without food for a week. And I'm kind of like,
that's not great.
Somebody really...
I honestly think now we'd be like, yes, he deserves it. Dumb Harry.
No, we wouldn't.
You might realise that.
I would.
Yeah, and Harry says, I sneak out when they go to bed and get food. They don't know that.
It's the best parenting I've ever heard of. It's not the worst.
No, but it's... again, it's cartoonishly bad. That's the thing.
Yeah,
it's done cartoonishly.
Yeah.
That's basically all the notes I had. I finished it with...
Oh, great.
Really.
Can you imagine spending...
End. What notes did you
I think we just spent six minutes on a chapter, if that.
My only chapter note was incredible. Why the fuck doesn't he question talking to
nowadays, someone? A single chapter takes us an hour and 15 minutes. Six minutes.
No, just doesn't question it.
Does
anyone want us to go back to that?
The peculiar things that have happened to him, which is like... It's interesting because all the peculiar things that have happened to him are to
Sorry, peculiar, did you just...
He's embarrassed that his hair's going to be cut. He's embarrassed that a jumper's going to be forced over his head. It's this sprinkling of magic in. It's that thing that you wish could happen as a child.
Yeah, but like, I just really, no matter the weird things that have happened to him, like, you're having a conversation with a snake that's like essentially replying to you through mime.
Mm.
I feel like you should maybe question it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's where we're going to leave it. We'll normally maybe 3 to 4 chapters, but I feel like we wanted a lot more time to get into
Oh, sweetie, no.
Which is a weird chapter looking back.
I can't get over that one line.
That began my childhood.
We thought we'd do.
My later
that's
life.
That's cute.
Did that ever? We never did more than
Thank you so much for listening.
You fucking liar, past Hannah.
Not a liar, you didn't know.
Bye guys. Oh, that was a loud cheers. Wow.
Okay, let's cheers again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Goblet of Wine. Make sure to subscribe.
Oh, there's no outro music.
App to listen to new episodes every
we sound like we're underwater now.
Why is there no outro music?
Why are we underwater?
On life. And we'll see you next episode. Bye.
Oh, I didn't blend it. Bad, Hannah. Oh, and I used the intro music as the outro music? Terrible choices were made, Hannah.
What were you on?
Not that anyone ever listens to our outro.
No, probably not.
Well, maybe the people who are producer level patrons to hear their names being voice noted to them every week. I do redo it every week on a fresh voice note. All my voice notes are just lists of patrons.
Amazing.
How did you find that experience?
Unpleasant.
But not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I do understand now why people kept listening.
I actually found it, yeah, enjoyable for the fact it was so much. I had really built it up in my head to be something bad.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't.
My thing is, like, I enjoy it when we're being funny. And even though, like, I can tell if it wasn't me, I would enjoy the intelligent points. I would. But I think because it's us, I just kind of, like, squirm.
Yeah, like, my points I found really obnoxious. But I know that if I wasn't myself, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'd always thought that about the observed third person narrative. And no one's ever talked about that before. But just because it's me, I'm like... And it's something I actually need to, like, stop doing, because whenever I do make... It's probably one of those, like, ingrained things of, like, me being like, oh, I'm trying to make an intelligent point and I'm putting myself down because I sound obnoxious and bossy and horrible. And that's probably actually a really internalised misogynistic thing.
No, you do just sound really bossy and... No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, like, it's probably that, because I was, like, always told as a kid, I was like Bella from the Tweenies and, like, bossy and like all these negative words used for when I was trying to make intelligent points. And I do think that voice is still inside of me. But, like, I mean, in my head, I do sound fucking irritating in that first episode.
But you don't. It's just that it's because it's you. If that makes sense.
And you don't sound irritating either. I think what I quite enjoyed was that, like, the ethos of our podcast is really there. So as I mentioned in that recording, my newest company just did a LinkedIn post mentioning the podcast because they did.
Because she couldn't physically stop them.
They didn't run it past me.
Good. But
if you're listening,
most
it's
important,
fine.
Do you know the difference between your hashtags and hash browns, Hannah? I will edit that out. Don't worry.
I think he'd find it funny in all honesty. Anyway, very nicely, because nowadays I have to mention the podcast in job interviews because it earns us somewhat of a living and I cannot legally take a job without the permission of a new job.
But also, it, like, impressive.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, 70% of it is like, hi, impressive digital thing. 30% of it's like, hi, I need you to legally say I'm allowed to carry on doing this.
And, like, I literally have clients that are impressed by it. I've got one client right now where they keep on saying that they think that I'm the right person for the job. They're like, you're really going to get the tone of voice for the brand because, like, it's such, like, this, like, really real, like, sarcastic kind of, like, British brand, and you with your podcast, like, you're just perfect for it. And I'm like, eh? And bear in mind, this is like doing marketing for a beauty company, so it's like, that surely isn't relevant, but people are impressed by it for one reason.
But the LinkedIn post the job does, bear in mind he copy and pasted some of our marketing text, but still he chose the sentence that said, a chaotic mix of literary criticism one moment and drunken chaos the next. Mm. And I'm like, listening back to that first episode, I'm like, God, yeah. Like,
it does come
we
through.
We branded ourselves and, like, we have really stuck to that brand. We really swing between, like, the third person narrative to frozen dead babies. That brand has stuck through, and that's probably why the podcast has been the level of success that it has, because although there are issues with the first episode, the heart of it, the core of it, is still the exact same what we're doing
today. Which is our really dumb way of being like, hey, look, we were people. We're now still the same people. Yeah. We're just like, oh my God, it's so consistent. What do you mean that our voices are the same and the points that we make are the same?
No, but I think that, like, especially post-COVID, I have this, like, very big thing of, like, pre and post COVID, like, the, like, everything feels so different. And it's weird listening to myself pre-COVID and being like, oh God, I am the same person. Like, in a horrible way, so much has changed and so much is horrible that, like, it's nice to know that this thing that we created is still at the core the same.
Yeah. I think it's actually crazy when I think about how little time we were going at this before COVID. Like,
I know.
Because when I think about it, so that was the end of 2018. And when I think about the things that happened in 2019, I'm now going to give Anna some examples that I'm going to cut out. those things were the second year of the podcast, barely, basically the first year, because we started this in like October. It's like, how was that the first year of the podcast? And then that was the only year then before we went into fucking lockdown.
Okay, so yeah, like to flip it, but I'm about to give Charlie some examples, which will also cut out.
Sorry, guys. It's absolutely crazy how we basically had like a year, because there was like the October, a year and a half of actually doing it, a year of it being proper, because we had October, November, December 2019, and then Jan, Feb, March. So a year and a half, but a year of it really kind of being established.
Yeah.
That we got to enjoy it before we then, the pandemic happened.
And like, it's almost frustrating, because for you guys, I know it was different when we were apart, and I know some episodes weren't as good, and that upsets me, but in a lot of ways it was the same. But for us, it's really frustrating, because, and I know you guys don't want us to bring this up, but this podcast has a certain end date. Like,
yeah,
not that we don't have ideas for after the books end, we do, but the core of the podcast has a time limit, and sometimes I get very upset and angry that half of that has been in COVID, and then I have to remember that, like, there's so many worse things. That's no one's fault. It's the way the world is. It doesn't matter. But like, yeah, listening to that back, knowing that we had a year and a half, but basically a year pre-pandemic, and then the rest of it has been in pandemic,
yeah,
and struggling, like, producing this podcast, I can't even explain how much harder it's been during COVID. Every podcaster has said the same thing. Yeah. It is incredibly difficult.
Yeah. I think the time thing is crazy as well, because, and I think part of this is the credit of how quickly we got this up and running.
Yeah.
Like, we obviously didn't grow as fast as other podcasts, and we grew faster than others. But the point of this is not like comparison, but I think that we grew so much quicker than we ever expected.
Yeah.
Mostly because we expected to do like three episodes and then give up. And then I definitely know, I don't want to speak for you, but I think that I thought that if we did keep it going, that we would like probably finish it on about 50,000 listens ever. Like, I didn't think that anyone would listen to this. Like,
let me check if we've hit the next
milestone. We have. We've hit 700,000.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I thought that you knew. But
hey, we hit 700,000.
We did. So I didn't think that it would ever, like, ever anywhere near get to the point that it was. And, you know, some people will look at our stats and be like, your podcast tiny. But I don't think it's tiny. I really like it, and I like our audience. But essentially what I'm trying to say is, because we got the numbers up relatively quickly,
yeah,
for our expectations, I think that when I think about the things that happened in 2019, when I think about 2019, I'm like, the podcast was up and running and it was really established. But then, yeah, when I think about it, I'm like, no, we had literally just started. And it feels like there was a year missing. Like, there should be a 2018.2, that we ran the podcast for a year, built it up, and then we had 2019.
Yeah, like, but we persuaded a convention to let us in. I emailed them in March of 2019, yeah, 6 months after starting the podcast, and they let us in for summer 2019 based on our stats.
For some reason.
And things spiraled from there.
Yep.
Yeah, and like, one of my clearest memories is this thing. This was like, in 2018, sitting in the premiere of that YouTube series with
Tom Felton
in. So we
and
went to see the
Tonks as well.
Yeah. We went to see, I don't know, do you remember what it was called?
No.
I think it flopped.
Tom Felton and Tonks.
Yeah, it was the YouTube-owned series, and somehow I won tickets, not through the podcast, through my own personal Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I replied to a tweet and won tickets for us, so we went to see it. And the night we went to see it, I believe we hit a milestone, and I think it was only the month after starting the podcast, so I believe it was 500 listens. Mm. And I remember us sitting in the theatre and hitting 500 listens. And, like, that was, like, insane, because like, when you think about it, 500 people is still like a lot of people.
Yeah. And we now, like, we get more than that within the first day of, yeah, each episode.
A lot more than that. A lot more. It's mad.
We're doing a lot of tooting our own horns here, and
that's kind of the point of our anniversary episode.
But also, I don't
care if anyone's like, oh, this is really obnoxious. Like, I genuinely don't care. We did a really good thing and we've worked ridiculously hard for 3 years. Like, let us toot our own horns. Like, people don't sing their own praises enough. So, like, if you're sat here thinking that this is obnoxious, I don't care. Go look in the mirror and praise yourself for something that you have achieved.
Yeah, because also, like, I know we do bring it up, like, occasionally, but we don't. I still feel that sometimes people, it doesn't sink in, and I put too much pressure on myself and you put too much pressure on yourself. We've done all of that whilst both working full time. And bear in mind, this podcast is as increasing. I think for the point of both of us, it's a part-time job a week, plus on top of a full-time job. And we're still so passionate and love it and all of that. And I'm not saying that, like, it's so hard, but it's just like, I don't know what I mean by that. I just mean that it's like...
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And I'm not saying that in the way I don't enjoy it, because, like, we wouldn't do it if we didn't enjoy it. But it's not our day jobs. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that we're also just like, I hate even saying it because I just feel like it should go without saying. And then I'm like, people aren't mind readers, but we're so incredibly thankful for all of this. I just cringe when I say this stuff. I'm like, yeah, what? No, but like, for like absolutely everything, for giving us the motivation to keep on doing it, for the contributions that people make on Patreon, for like giving us the opportunity to do wild things like go to conventions and go to Albania next year, go to fucking America, which is gonna be crazy. And for the people that we've met through it, from like the other like absolutely incredible podcasters yeah. that we've met, to people in our own community, like next year, I don't know if this will happen, but my current plan is after we go to LeakyCon, which isn't confirmed, guys, so no one please book tickets, like, oh my God, they're going to be there. But like, it's our intention to go.
Yeah, we're trying.
But my intention then after that is that I'm then going to travel the East Coast of America, and I have people that I have made friends with through the podcast that I hopefully to stop off and see along the way. And
I'll be dying on the side of the road. No, I'm joking.
She will. I'm just going to leave her. And, you know, like, there are so many other people that we've met. Like, we're going to the pub with someone like next week that we've met through the podcast.
Yeah,
we've met people that are in the Harry Potter community, like people that worked on or were in the films and stuff like that. We've met so many incredible people. We have learned so much. Like we were saying, this has actually impacted our own personal careers in such a positive way. Like, the podcast only brings us good things on top of the stress.
Yeah. And also, like, the true core of the reason for doing it in some ways has like changed slightly. Like, neither of us could have predicted when we started that, well, no, you could have predicted just in 2018 when we started it, that like JK Rowling and the Harry Potter community would have turned out where it was. And like, I think you could have predicted, but you couldn't have predicted how yeah. shit it would become,
the level.
And like,
yeah.
we faced a lot of questions for why we're doing this, and those questions are absolutely valid. But it's made me even more convinced for the reason why we're doing this, to give a safe space for however people identify to still enjoy Harry Potter, but without feeling the guilt and giving money towards Warner Brothers and J.K. Rowling. And like, for the questions we face because of that, it's made me more convinced on the reason why we're doing it.
We get so many messages from people saying that they don't feel comfortable reading the books or listening to the audiobooks anymore, and that they used to use the audiobooks to get to sleep, and now they use our podcast, which, what, rude? Are we that boring? I'm kidding. But that they've managed to switch it out and they listen to us. And I just completely agree with still doing this podcast, because like I always say, if all the decent Harry Potter fans stop talking about Harry Potter, we're only left with J.K. Rowling and her evil demons voices.
Yeah.
And I don't think this story and legacy and community should be overrun by the hate.
And you shouldn't rip away people's love for something just because of the author's later opinions.
So long as you love it critically.
Yeah, you love it critically, but what we're trying to do is create a safe space where everyone feels included, however they identify. And I And I hope that's what we're doing. And I hope also the space we're creating means that you guys can call us out when we do things that we...
You said doo-doo.
That means that we don't fit into that. But yeah, like we, like, I'm not going to lie, we faced a lot of questions. Like even, not just with from our podcast, within like working life, I faced questions of like, oh, but J.K. Rowling. And I'm like, no, I do believe in the reason why we're doing this.
It's now a thing when I have to tell people about the podcast. It's in one sentence. I'm like, yeah, so, yeah, I run a podcast. And then they're like, oh, what's it about? I'm like,
Harry Potter.
So it's about Harry Potter, but I just want to say I'm not a TERF and I don't like J.K. Rowling. Like, I never, ever, ever tell anyone now that I run a Harry Potter podcast without, in the same breath, prefacing that I'm not a TERF and I hate J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, this is the thing, and I do that no matter who asks me. So a lot of the time people look at me and they're like,
okay, didn't ask.
What's a TERF? What's J.K. Rowling? Like, I've literally had to explain to people what J.K. Rowling have done because I've opened it up by saying, and I don't agree with J.K. Rowling. But I think that's good because then it opens up the conversation to educate people that didn't know. Like, I've talked to so many people that are like, I've seen her get hate on Twitter, like, but did she really do some like kind of shitty tweets? Like, she got cancelled, didn't she? And I'm like, no. She's like a legitimately bad person for like XYZ. And I explain. And then they're like, oh my God, I didn't realise it was that bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is a thing. We know because we're part of the community. But a lot of people genuinely don't realise how bad she is.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, this is a tangent.
It is a long tangent. But yeah, just to say that like, here we still are after 3 years, and at the rate we've slowed down for the podcast, and we haven't slowed down to keep up with it. Actually, no one's tweeted us that. I'm saying that
I think it's obvious from the fact that, I mean, there's no filler. One's tweeted us that. There's no filler in our episodes in terms of like us trying to drag it on. There's filler in terms of we just embrace not talking about Harry Potter at this point. But like, it would be pretty obvious if we were like dragging it out. But at this point, I think you can tell that we barely even fit one chapter into an episode.
Which means we are technically only just over halfway through the podcast. So
shitting hell, I can't put up with you that long.
So yeah, even though we are well over halfway through the book, because of the amount we've slowed down because of the deeper analysis we do, we're only just over halfway through the podcast.
And then once we finish the books, there's then so much that we're going to create, and it's not going to be dragging it out for the sake of it, but there's genuinely, we want to do overarching kind of like subjects, like talking about feminism and Harry Potter and stuff like that. God, we will get close to a decade of the podcast, I reckon.
I quit. I'm off.
I understand.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
It's actually, we don't quit. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. If you have any memories of the podcast that you want to share with us, not like, I remember when you did this, just like, how did you find us? When did you realize you wanted to carry on listening? What comment made you realize, this is the one for compliments,
basically.
No, I just want to know memes.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks so much for your support and for listening for this long, whoever is still listening. And we'll see you in the next normal episode, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Goblet of Wine. To find us on social media, search at Goblet of Wine Pod on Twitter or at Goblet of Wine Podcast on Instagram.
We also have a website over at www.gobletofwine.co.uk where you can keep up with everything that we do.
This podcast is produced by our wonderful Hufflepuff tier patrons:
Veronica, Samuel, Ronan, Matt, Lewis, Layla, Catherine, Hannah, Amelie and Alexia.
If you'd like to support this podcast, check out our Goblet of Wine Patreon, where you can also gain access to bonus episodes, behind the scenes content and our Discord.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
You meant to say it with me.
Bye.